Our scriptures come this week from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6, and Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. From Isaiah we read, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and God's glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in the nurse's arms. Then you will see and be radiant. Your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord." And from Matthew, "In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, 'Where is the child who's been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage.' When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." These are our sacred stories. Christ and Christmas signs are coming down. There are more and more trees on the curbs. Christmas has been removed from the grocery aisle, sold at discount to those already preparing for next year in order to clear the shelves for Valentine's. But Christmas is not over. It's still Christmas at least until tomorrow. And it seems to me that keeping Christ in Christmas is really not the problem. The person we leave out is Herod. We leave Herod out so that we can keep Christmas sentimental and disconnected from our actual lives. What happens when we put Herod back in Christmas? Does his tyranny change how we hope, how we love? Does his presence change the meaning of peace on earth, goodwill to all? When we keep Herod in the story, does it become more relevant to our modern lives? In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at his rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. This is part of the Christmas story, and like the rest of it, it doesn't fit well with the common sentimentality of Christmas. I wonder about these wise ones. Were they completely unaware of what their question would ignite? Had they no clue that Herod would become fearful, insecure, intimidated in his fear, and begin attacking? Or did they know? And knowing, did they intentionally travel to the seat of power and might, offering resistance to Herod before they offered their gifts to the Prince of Peace? Were they knowingly defying authority? Testifying to an alternative power, a power that cannot be commanded or captured? Whatever they knew about Herod, they trust the star. They trust their epiphany, and they're willing to risk the journey and their lives for it. Cornel West writes, "To be a Christian is to live dangerously, honestly, freely, to step in the name of love as if you may land on nothing, yet to keep stepping, because the something that sustains you no empire can give you and no empire can take away. This is the kind of vision and courage required to enable the renewal of prophetic, democratic, Christian identity in the age of the American empire." The wise ones were not Christians, but they believed in something they could only glimpse through the power of a star and then a child. They were willing to live dangerously, honestly, freely, to step out in the name of love, knowing that they had found something that no empire can take away and no empire can give. And my friends, we need this kind of courage and vision. We need it now. Jews slaughtered in their homes, celebrating Hanukkah. Other Jews targeted for attack. Another mass shooting in a church last Sunday. An act of war by our country on another country just 2 days ago. Children and grown-ups sick and treated inhumanely at our borders. Hate crimes and hate speech, hate, so much of it claimed as part of God's plan. Australia is burning. The earth is suffering. We need vision and courage. We need a star. Even knowing that following it might lead us to places of risk, places that will require more courage of us than we might believe we have. Resistance to the power of violence and adherence to the realm of peace. This is no easy journey. This is no easy discovery. It demands much. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. The Gospel of Matthew gives us a glimpse into what it was like for those long ago living under imperial rule. When Herod is frightened, the people know to be horrified. Such is the nature of despotic rule. Its subjects are coerced into experiencing what it experiences, especially the bad, and in exponential proportions. Herod is threatened by knowing that there's another ruler. He is insecure. His control is propped up, built on the power-hungry and the fearful and the greedy, maintained through threat and force. It seems to me that force and insecurity are opposite sides of the same tyrannical coin. But those wise ones, they don't buy into the fear. They've traveled this far to find the one to whom the star points and then to worship. Herod, upon learning of the Christ child, the child king, claims he wants to pay homage as well and commands the wise ones to return to him after they find him. Whether they could see it in his eyes or whether they needed the dream, they understand that this is a lie. Herod has no intention of true worship. He will say what he needs to say to appease those who prop up his position, but he wants only power and control. It is his anxiety and paranoia that have him fabricating his intent to worship. He was never going to worship the child-born king of the Jews. He was going to kill him. He was plotting slaughter, not reverence. And Herod thought the wise ones believed his lies. Maybe he promised them positions of power upon their return, riches. Whatever he promised, the wise ones find Jesus and Mary and they worship. They offer their gifts and then they refuse to return to Herod. They resist. They return to their homes by another way. Did the wise ones really need a dream to know not to return to Herod, or did they already know that Herod's way would only lead to suffering and violence? They defy Herod. They risk and they resist. They choose a different kind of power, a power they find in a child. The wise ones are not pawns in a narrative outside their agency. They are witnesses. They are prophets. They are present to a truth they will risk everything for. This is Epiphany. When Herod realizes he's been tricked and that the wise ones will not be coming back, and he will not be told where to find the child king, he broadens his violent plan and orders the slaughter of all the baby boys 2 years of age and younger. Jesus and his parents flee as refugees to Egypt in order to save Jesus' life. Matthew says it this way: "Then Joseph got up, took Jesus and his mother by night, and went to Egypt. When Herod saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, She refused to be consoled because they are no more. This is the violence of Herod, and it is just as much a part of the Christmas story as the star and the manger. We should not leave Herod out of the Christmas story, for to do so is to risk claiming the name of Jesus while embracing the values of Herod, using fear to stoke tension and strife, to perpetuate subjugation and extract vengeance. We've permitted the values of Herod to creep in and take over, to distract us from the vulnerability of hope, the path of peace, the demands of love. We need to keep Herod in Christmas, but we cannot limit him to this one season. Herod exists in every time and place. He takes on different names, but always his fear leads to violence. Always his tyranny causes oppression, injustice, war. And perhaps a much harder truth is that Herod, part of Herod, exists in us, in me. When we allow our fear to limit our vision, when we allow our fear to lead to insecurity, to violence, to oppression, when we allow ourselves to believe the lies, to be intimidated or silenced, apathetic, then Herod is not just out there, but also in here. Herod and his fear lead to racism, lead to sexism and classism and heterosexism and all the other manifestations of threatened power and insecurity. And so, my friends, we must keep Herod in the Christmas story so that we can recognize him in our own stories. And recognizing him, we must be willing, like the wise ones of old, to resist, to change, to refuse to follow in the path of violence. This day, on the last day of Christmas, on the day that we celebrate Epiphany, this day, we must decide if we will do the work of Christmas, of Emmanuel, God with us, after the tree is put away and the manger scene returns to the attic. We must decide what response we will make to Herod, to his fear and fear-mongering. We must decide, as the wise ones did so long ago, if we are willing to step out in the name of love, confronting the Herod within ourselves, confronting the Herod in the world. This day of Christmas, this day of celebrating Epiphany, this day, I pray that we will step out in love, resisting Herod and working for peace. Amen.